Hey, this is Erin Moran from A Girl Called Eddie, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members, and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe in the WGXC newsroom with the WGXC election results for the election that started on October 28th and ended on November 7th. Columbia County judge, the winners were two Democrats, Michael C. Howard and Brian J. Herman, beat Robert Gibson and Joyce Crawford. For Columbia County District Attorney, Democrat Chris Liberty Connett beat Ryan Carty. For Columbia County Treasurer, Paul J. Keeler, the Republican conservative candidate, was the only one, so won. Monica R. Cleveland was unopposed for Ankrum Town Clerk Tax Collector. James P. Miller was unopposed for Ankrum Town Highway Superintendent. Bonnie J. Hunt, the Democrat, won the Ankrum Town Supervisor race over Republican James E. MacArthur, with William Weiss getting one vote. Ankrum Town Council, there were two winners, Colleen M. Lutz, the Democrat, and Bob Roach, who ran on the Democrat and Ankrum United lines. They beat John R. Ingram, Republican, and David Boyce, Republican. Austerlitz Town Council, Ken Kaplan and Kara Humphrey, Democrats, were unopposed. Canaan Town Supervisor Brenda Adams, Democrat, Republican, was unopposed. Canaan Town Council, Virginia Nightingale and Brian Lifesack, were Democrats and unopposed. Canaan Town Justice, two winners were Catherine E. Ambrosia, Democrat and Republican line, and Delana M. Schaefer on the Democratic-Republican line, unopposed. Canaan Town Highway Superintendent Stephen Van Tassel, Democrat-Republican, unopposed. Chatham Town Supervisor, Democrat Christopher W. Spencer, beat Republican Donnell Collins. Chatham Town Council, two winners, John Wapner, Democrat Chatham Neighbors Party, and Angus Eaton, Democrat Chatham's Neighbors Party, over Republicans Vance Pitkin and Tim Mackerer. Chatham Town Justice Michael A. Hart was unopposed. Claverack Town Council, two winners, Sella Graham and Tracy Hennig, Democrats, over Republicans George Dunce and Gene Hallenbach. For Claremont Town Council, there were two unopposed winners, Don Brownson and Lindsay Lusher Shute. For Claremont Town Justice, Richard Christensen, Republican, was unopposed. Copake Town Supervisor Richard Wolf, Democrat, was unopposed. Copake Town Council, two unopposed winners were Stosh Ganskowski and Bob Haight. Copake Town Clerk Tax Collector Lynn M. Connolly was unopposed. Copake Town Highway Superintendent William H. Gregory was unopposed. Gallatin Town Supervisor John C. Riley, Democrat, was unopposed. Gallatin Town Clerk Tax Collector Lisa DeLu, Democrat, was unopposed. Gallatin Town Council, two winners, Jeff Jorv, Sarah McGee, Democrats, both unopposed. Gallatin Town Justice Eric Mortensen, Democrat, unopposed. Germantown Town Council, the two winners were the Democrats, Sarah Suarez and Carrie Christian, over Zach Moore, who was on the Palatine's United Party, and Jeanette Pekisi Oakley on the Unified Germantown Party. In the Ghent Town Council, two unopposed winners, Republicans Linda Nielsen and Daniel R. Birufaldi. Ghent Town Justice, two unopposed winners, Mark Porton and Michael N. Bruno, both Republicans. Greenport Town Supervisor Kathleen P. Eldridge was unopposed. Greenport Town Council, two winners unopposed, Francis Frank Iacino and Guy Apicelli. Greenport Town Justice Barry Sack was unopposed. Hillsdale Town Supervisor Mike Dvorak was unopposed. Hillsdale Town Clerk Robina Ward was unopposed. Hillsdale Tax Collector Joseph Hanselman was unopposed. Hillsdale Town Justice Robert Werner and Russ Emergian were unopposed and winners. Hillsdale Town Highway Superintendent Richard Briggs was unopposed. Hillsdale Town Council, two unopposed winners, Democrats Jamie Carano Nordenstrom and Erwin Feld. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson, Democrat, was unopposed. Hudson Common Council President Thomas DiPietro, Democrat, was unopposed. Hudson City Treasurer Heather S. Campbell, Democrat, was unopposed. Hudson First Ward Supervisor Claire Cousin, Democrat, was unopposed. Hudson First Ward Common Council, two unopposed, Margaret Morris and Gary Pernhagen, both Democrats. Hudson Second Ward Supervisor Abdus Mia, Democrat, unopposed. Hudson Second Ward Common Council, two unopposed winners, Dewan Sarwar and Mohammed M. Aroni, both Democrats. Hudson Third Ward Supervisor Michael Chimides, Democrat, was unopposed. Hudson Third Ward Common Council, two winners, Shirzad Mazan and Lola Roberts, Democrats, beat Bill Houston of the Fiscal Responsibility Party. Hudson 4th Ward Supervisor Linda Mussman was unopposed, Democrat. Hudson 4th Ward Common Council, two unopposed winners, Jennifer Belton and Rich Trixie Volo, Democrats, unopposed. Hudson 5th Ward Supervisor Richard Scalera, Democrat, unopposed. Hudson 5th Ward Common Council, two unopposed winners, Vicky Dasculati and Dominic Moranti, Democrats. Kinderhook Town Clerk Tax Collector, the Democrat and Kinderhook Community Party candidate Natalie D. Jones, beat the Republican April S. Pinkowski. Kinderhook Town Justice, the Democrat Ken Golden, beat the Republican David Kolb. Kinderhook Town Supervisor Timothy Ohms ran as a Democrat and a Republican, unopposed. Kinderhook Town Council, two winners, Philip Bickerton, a Democrat who ran as a Democrat and a Republican, and Sally Naramore, who ran on a Democrat and Kinderhook Community Party line. Republican George J. Graham finishes out of the winning. Livingston Town Council, two winners, unopposed, William Bill Bender, Democrat, Republican, William Will Yandick, Democrat, Republican. Livingston Town Justice Harold G. Sonny Weaver, Jr., also Democrat, Republican, unopposed. New Lebanon Town Clerk Ashley Savanio, the Democrat, beat Marcy Robertson, the Republican. New Lebanon Tax Collector Tammy Darcy won unopposed. New Lebanon Town Council, one winner, Josh Young, the Democrat, beat the Republican Kevin Smith, the Democrat Steve Powers, and the Republican Elizabeth Ellen Krobith. New Lebanon Town Council, the unexpired term, Monty Walsh, the Democrat, beat the Republican Craig James Skirkus. New Lebanon Town Justice Lori Wechter, the Democrat, beat Republican John Jack Nevers and Lori Wechter from the New Lebanon First Party. New Lebanon Town Highway Superintendent Peter McCagg, the Republican and Democrat, beat conservative Jeffrey Weinstock. Stockport Town Supervisor Matt Morrell was unopposed. Stockport Town Council, two unopposed, John Leone and Charles Flory. Stuyvesant Town Supervisor, the Democrat Lee Jamison, beat the Republican Ron Knott. Stuyvesant Town Council, two Democrats won. Wendy Bopp and Cal Waits finished above Charles Stifler and Kelly Williams, the Republicans. Stuyvesant Town Highway Superintendent, unexpired term, Joseph Scrum, a Republican, unopposed. Taconic Town Clerk, Tax Collector Cheryl Rogers, Republican, unopposed. Taconic Town Council, two winners, the Democrats Douglas Craig and Perry Asher over Republican Joshua Plass. Greene County Judge David Costanza, Republican, unopposed. Greene County Sheriff Peter Kaminsky, unopposed. Greene County Clerk Marilyn Farrell, unopposed. Greene County Coroner, two winners, Gerald Buckley and Brianna Lennon, unopposed. Ashland Town Supervisor Richard Tompkins, unopposed. Ashland Town Justice, two unopposed winners, Patricia Lawyer and Kristen Leach. Ashland Town Clerk Don Thorpe, unopposed. Ashland Highway Superintendent Larry Tompkins, Republican, unopposed. Ashland Town Council, two unopposed winners, the Republicans John Mattis Jr. and James Garrigan. Athens Town's Clerk, the Democrat Phyllisanne Dinkelacker, the Democrat, beat the Republican Karen Dudley and Susan V. Brown from the One Athens Party. Athens Highway Superintendent, the Republican John Farrell, was unopposed. Athens Town Supervisor, the Democrat Michael Perrone, beat the Republican George Grenier. Athens Town Justice David G. Cole, the Democrat and One Athens Party, beat Timothy Mercer, the Republican. Athens Town's Council, Democrat Rebecca Pine and Democrat Tammy Bone, defeated Michael Regini, the Republican, and Shannon Spinner, Republican, and Karen Haas on the One Athens line. Caro Town Supervisor, Republican Jason Watts, beat Democrat Timothy Hilgendorf. Caro Town Justice Tanya Serago, Republican, was unopposed. Caro Town Clerk Kayla McAllister was unopposed. Caro Highway Superintendent, the Republican Arthur Evans, was unopposed. Caro Tax Collector Susan Hilgendorf was unopposed. Caro Town Council, the two winners were Republicans Deborah Bogans and Timothy Murphy over the Democrat Anna Schmidt. Catskill Town Clerk Elizabeth Izzo was unopposed. Catskill Town Tax Collector Sam Aldi was unopposed. Catskill Highway Superintendent Sean Beers was unopposed. Catskill Town Supervisor Republican Patrick McCullough was unopposed. Catskill Town Council, the winner was the Democrat Brian Kozlowski over Republican Paul Vosburg and Republican Stephen Espel. Coxsackie Wanda Dorpfeld, the Republican, was unopposed. Coxsackie Town Clerk Bambi Hodeling was unopposed. Coxsackie Highway Superintendent Lawrence Ross was a Democrat, unopposed. Coxsackie Town Supervisor Richard Hantz, the Republican, was unopposed. Coxsackie Town Council, two unopposed winners, Michael Veder and Shane Pilato, both Republicans. Durham Town Justice Raymond Kennedy was unopposed. Durham Town Supervisor Sean Marriott was unopposed. Durham Town Council Joan Breslin and Scott Hulbert were unopposed. Greenville Town Clerk Jessica Lewis was unopposed. Greenville Highway Superintendent Michael Dudley was unopposed. Greenville Town Supervisor John Benson was unopposed. Greenville Town Council, two unopposed winners, Paul Macko and William Von Atzigan, the Republicans. Halcott Town Clerk Patricia Warfield was unopposed. Halcott Town Tax Collector Robin White was unopposed. Halcott Highway Superintendent Russell Boughton was unopposed. Halcott Town Supervisor Samantha Boughton was unopposed. Halcott Town Council Innes Kasanoff and Alan Reynolds were unopposed. Hunter Town Superintendent Robert Blaine was unopposed. Hunter Town Supervisor Sean Mahoney was unopposed. Hunter Town Council, the two winners were unopposed, Raymond Legg and David Cuckle. Jewett Town Justice Stephen Canfield was unopposed. Jewett Town Clerk Tax Collector Maya Carl was unopposed. Jewett Highway Superintendent Robert Mallory was unopposed. Jewett Town Council, two unopposed winners, Jeannie Scott and John Palimia. Lexington Town Supervisor Joe Ellen Skemmerhorn was unopposed. Lexington Highway Superintendent Kevin Simmons was unopposed. Lexington Town Council Democrat Rose Petrella Wilson and Republican William Pushman tied with 162 votes. They get the seats over Democrat James Rooney. New Baltimore Highway Superintendent Republican Alan Van Warmer was unopposed. New Baltimore Town Supervisor Jeffrey Russo was unopposed. New Baltimore Town Council, two winners, the Democrats, beat the Republicans. Janet Cash and Deborah Sottolano were the winners. Prattsville Town Justice Donald G. Rione.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that the Fourth Judicial Department, a mid-level appellate court in New York, has reinstated a rule allowing the state health department to order someone to involuntarily isolate or quarantine to control a highly contagious disease. That overturns a 2022 decision by State Supreme Court Justice in Cattaraugus County, who found the rule violates the constitutional requirement for a separation of powers between the legislative and the executive branches when promulgating rules as severe as involuntary isolation. Republicans behind the lawsuit said they plan to appeal the decision to the State Court of Appeals, the state highest court. The November 17th ruling was on a technicality, as Republican officials filing the suit did not sufficiently establish why they were so severely harmed, and that the trial court failed to adequately rule on the merits of whether the petitioners had a right to bring the case in the first place. Assemblymember Chris Teague, who represents Greene and Schoharie counties, was one of the Republicans behind the lawsuit. The Republicans released a statement saying, and I quote, "This has been a David versus Goliath fight from the beginning on many levels, so it's not surprising that the state, with its limitless resources, has effectuated a win this round. We will never stop fighting for New Yorkers against government overreach," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Catherine Doyle reports at NBC News that Representative Elise Stefanik is again working for former President Donald Trump, filing new documents to her judicial ethics complaint against the judge overseeing Trump's civil fraud trial in New York. She amended her complaint by attaching the mistrial motion filed by Trump's attorney accusing Judge Arthur Engoron of bias. Engoron ruled against the motion. On November 17th, Stefanik said the motion was, and I quote, "wrongly denied," end quote, and that, and I quote, "a week ago I filed an ethics complaint against Manhattan Judge Arthur Engoron for his partisan antics, bias, and railroading of President Trump. After my complaint, a New York appellate court smacked down Judge Engoron for his blatantly unconstitutional gag order. Today, I am supplementing my ethics complaint against Judge Engoron with examples of even more of his egregious misconduct after he just wrongly dismissed President Trump's motion for a mistrial," end quote. Engoron said the arguments Trump's lawyers made in the motion were, and I quote, "utterly without merit," end quote. Engoron is presiding over a $250 million civil lawsuit about fraud in the former president's business. He has already ruled that the fraud existed and is now deciding how much to fine Trump and his business. Read more about this story at NBC News. WNYT reports that the Hudson Police Department is now saying there was no attempted kidnapping last week, and that the incident they warned local citizens about was a misunderstanding. Police originally said a man in a white van asked a child walking home from school to get in the vehicle. But on November 18th, police found the driver and learned that a language barrier led to a misinterpretation of events. The driver, with a thick foreign accent, says he was telling the child about a dropped item rather than directing them into the van. There were many posts and comments on social media about the incident last week after police posted a warning. Read more about this story at WNYT. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Mail-in ballots are a legal way of voting in Pennsylvania. So why would we go into an election with one arm tied up behind our back and not use one of the legal methods?
Pennsylvania Republican Chair Lawrence Taba says they'll now have to catch up with Democrats' strong mail-in ballot efforts in the battleground state. A federal judge just ruled even undated mail-in ballots received on time should be counted. The ruling voids as a violation of the 64 Civil Rights Act, a GOP-backed state law against counting them. Former President Donald Trump has attacked mail-in voting as prone to fraud. The Colorado Supreme Court has agreed to consider if Trump should be blocked from that state's presidential ballot. A lower court last week found Trump did engage in insurrection on January 6th, but said the 14th Amendment bar on insurrectionists in office doesn't apply to the presidency. Trump accused the judge of being a Democrat, but said eventually he came to the right decision.
The judge in the end said they can't do that. If they did that, I think it would have been very difficult for our country.
Backers of a similar suit in Michigan are appealing one court loss, while in Minnesota, the Supreme Court has confirmed another. A handful of Americans will likely be among the 50 women and children Hamas hostages included in the deal between the U.S., Israel, Hamas, and Qatar. A temporary ceasefire for 4 days should allow for their release and that of 150 Palestinian women and children held in Israeli jails, along with the delivery of humanitarian aid. EPA Administrator Michael Regan says they're making the largest ever investment in environmental justice, $2 billion in grants for disadvantaged communities.
And we won't stop until all of the people in this country, regardless of the color of their skin, have clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and an opportunity to lead a healthy and fulfilled life.
An Oregon state judge has ruled a series of voter-approved gun control measures violate the state's constitution. One would require background checks and firearm safety courses. Another banned high-capacity magazines. Reverend Leroy Haynes with Lift Every Voice Oregon defended the measures as historic public wins.
Because it gave hope to a lot of other states where legislatures aren't getting things passed, that people can use our democratic system and make this work.
The Oregon Attorney General plans to appeal. A growing number of states are considering laws to help residents voluntarily block their own gun purchases. That includes Maine, where nearly 90% of firearm deaths are suicides. State Representative Vicky Duodera hails what's known as Donna's Law.
It's not going to solve the whole issue in our state, but it's a measure that could help.
Proponents say the self-registry can draw bipartisan support, even when stricter gun licensing requirements, which might be more effective, would be challenged on Second Amendment grounds. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After months of campaigning, intrigue, impeachment threats, and partisan hardball, oral arguments were finally heard November 21st on the constitutionality of extreme gerrymanders in Wisconsin's state assembly and Senate maps. As we've reported, the election of Justice Janet Prosewitz in April changed the partisan makeup of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. During the race, Prosewitz had stated the state's voting districts were rigged, which had state GOP leaders demanding she recuse herself or be impeached. She did not recuse. The larger part of the arguments concerned the state constitution's definition of contiguity and whether the voting districts are as compact and connected as mandated in the constitution. Most of the state's districts are not compact, and as many as 75 are not contiguous, forming municipal islands. A decade of manipulation of the districts has led to an inflated GOP majority in the legislature, despite almost equal numbers of Republican and Democratic voters. This manipulation resulted in a 64-35 majority in the Wisconsin Assembly and a 22-11 majority in the Senate. Lawyers representing a conservative group argued that the case should have been filed earlier, and attorneys for GOP assembly members suggested that new maps could unseat reps elected under the existing maps just last fall. A decision on the case is expected early next year. We have links to more details at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A coalition of New York environmental groups finds dredging the Hudson River of toxic chemicals has failed. The report from Friends of a Clean Hudson River finds PCB chemical levels are higher than anticipated. The Environmental Protection Agency dredged the river between 2009 and 2015 for 30 years' worth of chemicals General Electric dumped into it. Dredging is typically an effective way to clean pollutants out of a river, but Ned Sullivan, with the group Scenic Hudson, describes why the EPA's effort was ineffective.
The problem is that EPA struck a deal with GE that was too much in favor of the polluter. They didn't require GE to clean up enough contamination.
Other federal agencies noted this. A 2015 report found GE didn't do enough dredging and the EPA didn't force the company to do more. Sullivan says the first step to true remediation is having the EPA admit this finding and prepare for more extensive dredging. Some 200 miles of the Hudson River are considered a Superfund site due to the high amount of contamination, and 40 miles of the Upper Hudson are GE's responsibility. Friends of a Clean Hudson River's assessment finds current sediment recovery rates aren't likely to allow fish to recover naturally. Sullivan notes the impacts this will have.
PCBs are a forever chemical. They don't naturally break down in the environment. And as you move up the food chain to other wildlife that consumes fish, as well as humans, the PCBs become more and more concentrated at every level in the food chain.
The EPA has warned against eating fish caught in the river between Troy and Hudson Falls, but people still do. Sullivan notes that PCBs are here to stay unless more is done. He says other parts of the river also need to be monitored since they're just as toxic as the area that was dredged.
we've called on EPA to require a formal investigation of the lower Hudson, 160 miles below the Troy Dam, where no remediation has been done, but where we know there is additional contamination because the fish in that lower Hudson remain unsafe to eat.
GE implemented two of three sediment collection programs this year. A third program, which includes deeper sediment sample collection, starts in 2024. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, November 23rd, Thanksgiving Day. Local early morning temperatures range from 33 degrees in Tannersville to 42 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 42 degrees. Today will be a pretty standard fall day. A cold morning turns just chilly this afternoon. Make sure to dress in layers, especially if you plan to be in and out all day long. We get a high of 48 at 3 p.m., which will be the best time of the day for a pre- or post-meal walk. Overnight, temperatures dip to 34 degrees. Then, tomorrow gets a bit windy, and we see a high of only 40 degrees at 11 a.m. Overnight, temperatures sink to 24 degrees. Then, Saturday will have a high of only 38. Sunday, rain returns to the area and we see a high of 42. And now for that final holiday tip. When that fateful moment comes, when that dreaded conversation breaks out, doesn't matter what your points of view are, this danger must be averted. So, your job is to jump up and say, "So, holy crap, UFOs are real, huh? What do you think is inside them things?" Regardless of what they are, we're all just normal little humans, and in that little way, we're all on the same side. Sunset today will be at 4:16 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:52 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are up to 10% because the sun is getting pretty active again. A recently snapped magnetic filament sent in Hadouken in our general direction could arrive on Saturday. Plasma winds will be average at 472 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 174. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Every Thanksgiving, our friends and family at WGXC like to spend the holiday together with some audio traditions. At midnight each year, we tune into William Burroughs' Thanksgiving Prayer, and then tune in the WGXC Morning Show on Thanksgiving Day for some other holiday audio traditions, like an excerpt from WKRP's Turkey Drop. We'll hear Dan Seward from the Battlefield Earth Show and his annual turkey story, as well as Rush Limbaugh's The True Story of Thanksgiving. And of course, we'll hear Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. And at 10 a.m., we'll have a special interview with Ron Pahalski interviewing Alice Brock from Western Massachusetts, the Alice from Alice's Restaurant, on the radio at WGXC. Cella Graham will be live in the Hudson studio on Thanksgiving Day for the WGXC afternoon show from 4 to 6 p.m. And at 6 p.m. All Together Now, we'll feature several stories about local food banks, free fridges, and other ways you can donate to help the hunger situation in the Hudson Valley. So tune in the radio Thanksgiving Day to WGXC 90.7 FM, your creative solar-powered community radio station.
Only the greatest promotion idea of all time.
Great.
All it's going to take is your complete cooperation, absolute secrecy, and 20 live turkeys. Herb, you're in charge of getting those turkeys. You got them, big guy.
Well, it looks like this thing might work out for Carlson after all. He's got two turkeys with him already.
Well, gentlemen, tomorrow is Turkey Day. I almost feel that electricity in the air.
You know, I think I can feel it too, Mr. Carlson, if you'd let me know just a little something about it.
What? And let every station in this town find out about it? No, siree. Use a haircut, Les. Did you get those turkeys?
Yeah, but it wasn't easy. When that farmer asked me what I wanted with 20 live turkeys, I had to do some pretty fast talking, let me tell you.
What did you tell him?
I told him it was a secret.
All right, gentlemen, tomorrow's the big day. I think we ought to review our assignments. Les, you have those remote lines?
Yes, sir. And I've had a big banner made up with the station call letters on it. W-K-R-P. Why does Les have to do a remote? Because this promotion is news, Andy. Big news.
All right, Travis, the newspaper's coming?
Nope.
No?
No, they said the giving away turkeys wasn't their idea of news.
By those fools. They'll be sorry.
I was riding on the Mayflower when I thought I spied some lead.
Start again. Wait a minute, now. Okay, take two.
I was riding on the Mayflower and I thought I spied some land. I yelled for Captain E-Rib, I have you understand. Who came running to the deck, said, boys, forget the whale. We're going over yonder, cut the engines, change the sails. Haul on the bowline, we sang that melody like all tough sailors do when they're far away at sea. I think I'll call it America, I said as we hit land. I took a deep breath, I fell down, I could not stand. Captain Arab, he started writing up some deeds. He said, let's set up a fort and start buying a place with beads. Just then this cop comes down the street, crazy as a loon. He throws us all in jail for carrying harpoons. Ah, me, I busted out, don't even ask me how. I went to get some help, I walked by Guernsey Cow, who directed me down to the Bowery slums, where people carried signs around saying, ban the bums. I jumped right into line, saying, I hope that I'm not late, when I realized I had eaten for 5 days straight. Looking for the cook, I told him I was the editor of a famous etiquette book. The waitress, he was handsome, he wore a powder blue cape. I ordered some Suzette, I said, could you please make that crepe? Just then the whole kitchen exploded from boiling fat. Food was flying everywhere, I left without my hat. Now, I didn't mean to be nosy, but I went into a bank to get some bail for Arab and all the boys back in the tank. They asked me for some collateral and I pulled down my pants. They threw me in the alley when up comes this girl from France who invited me to her house. I went, but she had a friend who knocked me out and robbed my boots and I was on the street again. Well, I rapped upon a house with a U.S. flag upon display. I said, could you help me out? I got some friends down the way. The man says, get out of here. I'll tear you limb from limb. I said, you know they refused Jesus too. He said, you're not him. Get out of here before I break your bones. I ain't your pop. I decided to have him arrested and I went looking for a cop. I ran right outside, I hopped inside a cab. I went out the other door, this Englishman said fab. As he saw me leap a hot dog stand in a chariot that stood parked across from a building advertising Brotherhood. I ran right through the front door like a hobo sailor does. But it was just a funeral parlor and the man asked me who I was. I repeated that my friends were all in jail with a sigh. He gave me his card, he said, call me if they die. I shook his hand and said goodbye, ran out to the street. When that bowling ball came down, said hello, this foot came through the line. Well, by this time I was fed up at trying to make a stab at bringing back any help for my friends and Captain Arab. I decided to flip a coin like either heads or tails, but let me know if I should go back to ship or back to jail. So I parked my sailor suit and I got a coin to flip. It came up tails and round my sail, so I made it back to the ship. Well, I got back and took the parking ticket off the mast. I was ripping it to shreds when this Coast Guard boat went past. They asked me my name and I said Captain Kidd. They believed me, but they wanted to know what exactly that I did. I said for the Port of Ebrook I was employed. They let me go right away, they were very paranoid. Well, the last I heard of Arab, he was stuck on a whale that was married to the deputy sheriff of the jail. But the funniest thing was when I was leaving the bay, I saw three ships sailing, they were all heading my way. I asked the captain what his name was and how come he didn't drive a truck. He said his name was Columbus. I just said good luck.
Time for the traditional true story of Thanksgiving, written by me in my second bestseller, 2.5 million copies in hardback, See, I Told You So. Chapter 6, Dead White Guys, or What the History Books Never Told You. The true story of Thanksgiving. The story of the Pilgrims begins in the early part of the 17th century. The Church of England under King James I was persecuting anyone and everyone who did not recognize its absolute civil and spiritual authority. Those who challenged ecclesiastical authority and those who believed strongly in freedom of worship were hunted down, imprisoned, and sometimes executed for their beliefs. A group of separatists first fled to Holland and established a community. After 11 years, about 40 of them agreed to make a perilous journey to the New World, where they would certainly face hardships, but could live and worship God according to the dictates of their own consciences. On August 1st, 1620, the Mayflower set sail. It carried a total of 102 passengers, including 40 pilgrims led by William Bradford. On the journey, Bradford set up an agreement, a contract, that established just and equal laws for all members of the new community, irrespective of their religious beliefs. Where did the revolutionary ideas expressed in the Mayflower Compact come from? They came from the Bible. The Pilgrims were a people completely steeped in the lessons of the Old and New Testaments. They looked to the ancient Israelites for their example. And because of the biblical precedent set forth in Scripture, they never doubted that their experiment would work. But it was no pleasure cruise. The journey to the New World was a long and arduous one. And when the Pilgrims landed in New England in November, they found, according to Bradford's detailed journal, a cold, barren, desolate wilderness. There were no friends to greet them, he wrote. There were no houses to shelter them. There were no inns where they could refresh themselves. And the sacrifice that they had made for freedom was just beginning. During the first winter, half the Pilgrims, including Bradford's own wife, died of either starvation, sickness, or exposure. When spring finally came, Indians taught the settlers how to plant corn, fish for cod, and skin beavers for coats. Life improved for the Pilgrims, but they did not yet prosper. And this is important to understand because this is where modern American history lessons often end. Thanksgiving is actually explained in some textbooks as a holiday for which the Pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians for saving their lives, rather than as a devout expression of gratitude grounded in the tradition of both the Old and New Testaments. Here's the part that's been omitted. The original contract the Pilgrims had entered into with their merchant sponsors in London called for everything they produced to go into a common store. and each member of the community was entitled to one common share. All of the land that they cleared and the houses they built belonged to the community as well. And they were going to distribute it equally. All the land they cleared, the houses they built, belonged to the community. Nobody owned anything. They just had a share in it. It was a commune. It was the forerunner to the communes we saw in the 60s and 70s out in California. And it was a complete with organic vegetables even, just like the communes of today are. There's no question it was organic vegetables. Bradford, who had become the new governor of the colony, recognized that this form of collectivism was as costly and destructive to the Pilgrims as that first harsh winter, which had taken so many lives. He decided to take bold action. Bradford assigned a plot of land to each family to work and manage, thus turning loose the power of the marketplace. Long before Karl Marx was even born, the Pilgrims had discovered and experimented with what could only be described as socialism. And what happened? It didn't work. They nearly starved. It never has worked. What Bradford and his community found was that the most creative and industrious people had no incentive to work any harder than anybody else, unless they could utilize the power of personal motivation. But while most of the rest of the world has been experimenting with socialism for well over 100 years, trying to refine it, perfect it, and reinvent it, the Pilgrims decided early on to scrap it permanently. What Bradford wrote about this social experiment should be in every school child's history lesson. If it were, we might prevent such needless suffering in the future, such as that we're enduring now.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, we're coming up to the country to get one of those free-range turkeys.
Oh, yeah. I love the free-range turkey. Which one should we pick? That one's got one of the big gobblers on it.
Oh, well, honey, I love one with a giant gobbler on it. Please, please pick that one. He looks like such a cutie pie. I would like a turkey that has a fat breast. I like to sauté the breast in a stick of butter.
I don't know if I want to bring that turkey back. He looks a little rancid.
No, no, that turkey's got a lovely cut to him. I can see his eyes. They're very shiny.
Now, that turkey looks like he could hurt you. I don't really know, huh? Look at that turkey. Oh, boy. That turkey looks like he could rip your face off.
Oh, my, we've got to get that turkey. He's running around in circles. Throw a rock at his head immediately, please. I don't want him to get away. He looks like a violent felon. I want that turkey on my platter. Get him. He's running away.
I can't get him. He's biting my leg off. Oh, my God. That turkey's the size of a horse.
No, no, I want that turkey over there, dear. He looks free-range. He looks like a free-range turkey.
That's not a free-range turkey. That's a wild animal. Gonna bite your face off.
Oh, no, he looks delicious. I can't wait to get my fork into his face and start chewing on his beak and his little gobbler. I want to chew his gobbler off, please.
Watch out. He looks like he could hurt you. Looks like he could take your whole leg off with just one beak swipe.
Oh, my. He is a big fellow. I'm not sure I want to mess around with a turkey like that. He's quite a rough customer, isn't he?
Yeah, you better think twice. We might want to get one of those smaller turkeys, one of those little hens.
Oh, honey, I don't want a hen. I want a giant turkey for Thanksgiving Day. I want to put stuffing in him and butter sticks.
I'd think twice. He looks like he's got a mean look. He might just rip your nose off and eat it for lunch. Oh, honey, can't you hit him with a stick? Hit him with a stick. I don't want to come all the way upstate and not go back home with a free-range turkey. I love free-range turkey. I don't know, honey. We might have to settle for that dead hen over in the corner. Looks like it was poisoned by some sort of pesticide. No, no, I want this turkey right here. He fell over. I think maybe he ate some of that pesticide. Yeah, pretty sure he ate some of that pesticide, because now he's not even gobbling anymore. He's barely gobbling. Oh, he's a cutie pie, though. I guess we could take this little desiccated tiny baby turkey home and fatten him up for next Thanksgiving. We could put him in a cage in the kitchen in our apartment in Manhattan, which was saved from being underwater because we live so far uptown. And all we do is come upstate and look for free-range turkeys. Well, I guess we could put him in a cage. It's no big deal. Let's see what the big deal is there. Looks like a good little turkey there. Get him in the bag.
It was back last October, I believe it was. We was going to hold a tent service off at this college town. And we got there about dinner time on Saturday. And different ones of us thought that we ought to get us a mouthful to eat before that we set up the tent. And so we got off of the truck and followed this little bunch of people through this small little bitty patch of woods there. And we come up on a big sign. It says, "Get something to eat here." And I went up and got me two hot dogs and a big orange drink. And before that I could take every mouthful of that food, this whole raft of people come up around me and got me to where I couldn't eat nothing, up like, and I dropped my big orange drink. I did. Well, friends, they commenced to move, and they want so much that I could do but move with them. Well, we commenced to go through all kinds of doors and gates and I don't know what all, and I looked up over one of them, and it says North Gate. And we kept on going through there, and pretty soon we come up on a young boy. And he says, "Ticket, please." And I says, "Friend, I don't have a ticket. I don't even know where it is that I'm going." I did. Well, he says, "Come out as quick as you can." And I says, "I'll do her. I'll turn right around the first chance I get." Well, we kept on moving through there, and pretty soon everybody got where it was that they was a-going, because they parted, and I could see pretty good. I could. And what I seen was this whole raft of people a-setting on these two banks and a-looking at one another across this pretty little green cow pasture. Well, they was. And somebody had took and drove white lines all over it and drove posties in it and I don't know what all. And I looked down there and I seen five or six convicts a-running up and down and a-blowing whistles. They was. And then I looked down there and I seen these pretty girls a-wearing these little bitty short dresses and a-dancing around. And so I sat down and thought I'd see what it was that was going to happen. I did. And about the time I got set down good, I looked down there and I seen 30 or 40 men come running out of one end of a great big outhouse down there. They did. And everybody where I was a-setting got up and hollered. And about that time, 30 or 40 come running out of the other end of that outhouse and the other bank full, they got up and hollered. And I asked this fellow that was besetting beside of me, I says, "Friend, what is it that they're hollering for?" Well, he whopped me on the back and he says, "Buddy, have a drink." Well, I says, "I believe I will have another big orange." And I got it and sat back down. And when I got down there again, I seen that them men had got in two little bitty bunches down there. They had rail close together. And they voted. they did? They voted and elected one man apiece. And them two men come out in the middle of that cow pasture and shook hands like they hadn't seen one another in a long time. And then a convict come over to where they was a-standing, and he took out a quarter, and they commenced to odd man right there. They did. Well, after a while, I seen what it was that there's odd man in for. It was that both bunches full of them men wanted this funny-looking little pumpkin to play with. They did, and I know, friends, that they couldn't eat it because they kicked it the whole evening and it never busted. But anyhow, what I was telling was that both bunches full wanted that thing, and one bunch got it, and it made the other bunch just as mad as they could be. And friends, I seen that evening the awfulest fight that I have ever seen in my life. I did. They would run at one another and kick one another and throw one another down and stomp on one another and grind their feet in one another and I don't know what all. And just as fast as one of them would get hurt, they'd tote him off and run another note. Well, they'd done that as long as I sat there. But pretty soon, this boy that had said, "Ticket, please," he come up to me and he says, "Friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket." And I says, "Well, all right." And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day what it was that there's a-doing down there, but I have studied about it. And I think that it's some kindly of a contest where they see which bunchful of them men can take that pumpkin and run from one end of that cow pasture to the other without either getting knocked down or stepping in something.
sits alone at the bar, estranged in isolation. It's been a while now, and he seems so far from those distant celebrations. Thinks back to all the mistakes that he made, to a time when he was so young.
Thanks a lot. I got a broken heart, and that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, baby, thanks a lot. You told our friends as I was passing by that you're not sorry that you made me cry. You said I deserve just what I got. Well, if that's how you feel, honey, thanks a lot. Thanks, thanks a lot. I got a broken heart, and that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, honey, thanks a lot. Oh, Leon. You wanted a fool, and I played the part. Now all I've got is a broken heart. We loved a little and laughed a lot. Then you were gone, honey, thanks a lot. Thanks, thanks a lot. I got a broken heart, and that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, honey, thanks a lot.